Hi, it's Vivi here, and welcome to another episode of Vixen's Holy Scriptures. Today, I will be talking about some of the topics that you have requested, and of course, I don't think that I will be able to talk about all of them because some of them require a lot of time, and since this is a podcast, I want to, like, you know, get maybe a little bit more into detail, and so I don't want to rush them. Therefore, you know, some of them will not be talked about today, but I wrote them down and they will come up sooner or later, so don't worry about that. And also, I want to remind you that if you have any like other idea or suggestion or just something that you are curious about, you can, you know, just text me on Instagram or like just write it on my message board and I will talk about it. So I think I will start with something that I think requires not a lot of time, which is the hate that Olivia gets in the comments. And I kind of don't know what to say about it because I think that people don't really hate her. You know, like, of course, they are reading the story from Allison's perspective, and so it's easier to empathize and like Allison more because they created a bond with her for over 70 chapters. And I just, like, Olivia has no real connection with the readers, and I think that there are some readers that are just not into, like, the whole cheating thing. Not that they, like, other readers like it, but I'm just saying that some of them are just so disgusted by it that they can also kind of like remain, you know, kind of detached from the story. And so they recognize that, you know, Olivia is in the right, and they still kind of side with her more than maybe they side with Allison. And I mean, that's totally fair. I mean, it's not that people have to side with Allison. I'm just writing the story in her perspective. And but I think that the people that actually like give Olivia hate don't really hate her. And besides, so I've seen some comments that are kind of rude. Maybe they're kind of funny. Like, I remember once I laughed to one of them because it was just like so different than all the others, you know, like everyone was saying, oh my god, I feel so bad because Olivia had just found out that, you know, Lorenzo and Allison have an affair. And one of the comments was like, oh, thank god, now go fuck yourself. And that was so funny. But I think that, like, those are like the real, like, mean comments that Olivia gets. And I think that those people still, I don't think that they really hate her. Or if they do, I mean, no, I don't think they really hate her. I mean, it's too big of a thing to really hate a character like Olivia. I don't think they do. I just think that they're annoyed because they are really invested into Allison and Lorenzo's relationship. And so Olivia is kind of like an obstacle. And that's why they can't stand her, maybe. All of the other comments, like, the majority of the comments that Olivia usually gets are, like, jokes. And I don't really take them seriously because I'm pretty sure that everyone can actually rationally say that Olivia is, like, the only one that hasn't done anything, you know, in the story. Like, both Allison, I mean, Lorenzo betrayed her, cheated on her, and Allison also kind of, like, played her, you know. And I think that everyone knows that. I'm pretty sure that everyone knows that. I just think that some people just like making jokes because she is, given that the story is in Allison's point of view, Olivia is kind of like the only thing that's standing between Allison and Lorenzo. And so I think this is why people make a lot of jokes about her. And just because I actually like comments on Wattpad tendentially are funny, and so I mean, people haven't been making jokes only about Olivia, they have been making jokes about everyone. And yeah, so I don't know, I still think that I mean, I haven't gotten much hate for Olivia. I've just gotten like jokes, you know? And I think that, no, I mean, I don't even think, like, I know, given like all the comments that I've received on the book, that Allison has received a ton more of hate than Olivia. And the hatred that she receives is a lot different because, like, it's a really misogynistic hatred that she receives, which is why I can't stand it. Because I don't care if you don't like her personality. You know, I mean, especially at the beginning, I wrote her to be annoying. And so, like, I don't mind if you don't like her personality. That was kind of the point. Like, I didn't want to make, you know, the, I didn't want to write the cliche, good girl that everyone likes. You know, I didn't want to write that. I wanted to write, kind of like an anti-hero almost, you know? And so I'm totally fine with people like not being okay with her behavior or her personality. But some of the comments that Allison receives are really misogynistic. And the reason why I can't stand them is not because it's Allison that receives them, but because these people hate on real people the same way they hate on Allison, and that's not okay. I don't like that, and that's why I kind of get annoyed in the comments, and I reply to some of them. But Olivia, I don't know. I don't really remember like any big hate comment that she received. I think that, for example, one time, maybe it was like when Lorenzo was saying that it had been 20 years since he had gotten into such a young and tight pussy. And so I immediately clarified in my author note in the next chapter that he was not calling her loose because I knew that some people would, like, you know, take it as a, it's a kind of opportunity to like call her loose, and I'm not okay with that, which is why I specified it immediately. And that's it. But really, I can't really remember any bad hate comments that Olivia received because I'm pretty sure, again, that everyone knows that she hasn't done anything to deserve getting cheated on. So the next topic that I'm gonna get into is what I study because someone is interested in it and they have no idea how much time they've got left before they have to decide like their college path or whatever. So I'm just gonna get straight into it. Of course, this is how it works in Italy, and I don't know how it works in other countries, but I think that you can kind of use it as a guide. Basically, I want to become a neuroscientist, which is why I'm into psychology. Now, I don't know if in other countries you can go into like some other universities. I have no idea, but this is how it works here. And basically, you have the first 3 years and then you get a degree. Now, in these 3 years, you focus on the brain. It's mostly the anatomy, the biology of the brain, the chemistry of the brain. And also like psychology, so just like the mental processes, or like the mental illnesses or the psychodynamic theories, you know, it's a whole plethora of different subjects, but they're all centered around the brain. There are a few courses that pretty much have nothing to do with the brain, but you have to have that knowledge, and it's mostly mathematics. Because all of the other courses are centered around the brain. So if you have a passion for the brain, this is the right college for you, the right university. And once you finish these 3 years, you have 2 years of master's. And so I don't really know exactly how it works because I tried to ask in my first year and my professor told me that I just had to like, you know, slow down a little bit because I was just in my first year and then didn't have to worry about those things that were like going to come later. But now I'm in my second year and I have no one to ask because we're all stuck at home. But basically, you have to choose your masters, and here I think there are like three paths. It's either wait, I don't even remember. I think it's psychology, then it's neuroscience, and then also like human and human machine interaction. So basically, I think that once you get into it, you like get into studying AIs, you know, artificial intelligence and stuff. Anyway, of course, I'm gonna go into neuroscience, and so you do the master's, you get another degree, and then I think once you do this, you have to start your PhD path, which that takes a lot of time. I have no idea when I will end my studies because like I have no clue if after the master's there's something else before the PhD. I think that it will take me a total like maybe 10 years or something. I have no idea. But I'm ready for it. Like I really want to do this. This is my passion, and so I have to do it. Now, I think that what's more interesting is whether like you can get into it. I mean, maybe you're unsure on like whether you can take it or not. And first of all, I think that like in everything, you need to be passionate about what you're going to study because otherwise it will just be really, really heavy on you. For example, here in Italy, you have to start choosing from middle school, you have to start choosing what high school you want to go to. Because in Italy, there are a ton of different high schools. And for example, I chose a category, and then in that category, there are subcategories of high school, you know? And so I chose scientific, and it was mostly just science, math, and physics. And I didn't like it. I didn't like physics at all. Math, I kind of like it, but I mean, I hated physics a lot and it just stressed me out so much. So I didn't even like the whole high school at the end of the day. Like, I hated it. I only liked like my friends, my class, and that was it. And so it was really heavy to stay 5 years in it. And in high school, it's not just like one subject that everything is centered around. You have a ton of different things. You have like literature, you have English literature, you have math, you have physics science, and computer science. I mean, there was a ton of things. So it's not like I was focusing on just one subject and still I was going crazy. So imagine being in university and having to study one subject that you don't even like. You can't do that. I don't think that people can do it. I for sure would not be able to. So first of all, you really need to ask yourself whether you're passionate about it. If you are, I think that even though you may not be really good at certain subjects, you can still do it because you really just need to be passionate about it. And then if you're passionate, you're motivated, and so you can push through. Here, for example, if you want to become a neuroscientist specifically, you need to be good with science. So you have to, you know, like biology, you have to like anatomy, you have to like chemistry. You also need to not hate math. You really need to not hate it because you will have it, like you will find it and you need to be able to take it, you know? Of course, it's different if, for example, you want to become a therapist, because then you choose a different path. And so, you know, once you choose to become a therapist, I mean, for the first 3 years, you do need to be able to like work with anatomy. You have to be able to work with a little bit of chemistry. You need to have basis, first of all, of both anatomy, biology, and chemistry. But if you then choose to become a therapist, you will not be focusing on them once you like start to get your master's and stuff. But you, like the person that specifically asked for this, asked for neuro, so like this is my advice, basically. You just need to be, first of all, really passionate about it. And then you have to be good with sciences, because otherwise, I mean, what are you gonna do? Yeah, basically that's it. I have no idea what else I'm supposed to say besides that, especially because I don't know how much help I can be, consider that I don't think that you're from Italy. I mean, I'm saying you as if I'm specifically talking to this person. I'm sorry. But yeah, I mean, whoever is listening to it and is considering it, I don't know how much I can help. But this is like what I can pretty much give you. If you have any other like more in-depth questions, you can just like text me on Instagram and I will just reply there. So I was asked whether there are any questions that I like or dislike receiving in relation to my books. And I have to go with, like, I don't have any issues with any questions. I mean, as long as people who ask them are, you know, respectful and they're not getting aggressive, then I'm fine with pretty much any question that can cross a person's mind. I mean, of course, you know, like, if someone is getting aggressive for whatever reason, then I will get defensive and I will probably refuse to answer questions. But that's also depends, like, on the attitude of the person asking these questions. But again, I can't really come up with like a question that I would dislike receiving, because I haven't gotten any question that I disliked so far, and so I can't even make it up in my head. Like, I just can't think of one that I would dislike receiving. And as for the questions that I would like receiving, I mean, I think that I received pretty much any question. I mean, you know, there have been people asking me whether like the story was based on a real occurrence, and I don't mind it. I mean, I'm pretty open about everything. Or whether like how I came up with the story, or sometimes it's just questions about like the techniques, so like how I actually write, the writing process. And I've always replied. I've never had any issues with any of them. And there aren't like any questions that I would love receiving more than others, because again, you know, I just have gotten pretty much any question, I think, like both on the content, on the inspiration process, and on the writing process. I've pretty much covered all bases, so I have no idea like whether there are any questions that I would also like receiving, because I think I got them all. I don't know. It's just that, you know, like, you don't have to be afraid. Like, if you come up with some question, just drop it. I will be happy to reply to you, you know? And if it's something that I will find myself being uncomfortable with, then I will just say it. Like, listen, I'm uncomfortable, and that's it, pretty much. But yeah, just, you know, if you have any questions, you can just drop them. As long as like you're not being aggressive with me, I will give you a nice reply, and that's about it, really. I just can't even think of an example of a question that I have never received and that I would like or dislike receiving. You know, it happens sometimes. I think like one time it happened that someone asked about, you know, the man that inspired Sinful and Tainted. And this person was being really aggressive about it. Like, you know, she was just asking a ton of really personal questions that I was not okay with receiving. And no matter how I tried to make her understand that, she still continued. So, you know, that was a little bit uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable. Or, you know, oh, now I'm actually coming up with them. Another time, you know, I've had a person being really, really interested in my personal life, like, too much, like, stalker, almost, in a stalker way. Actually, I can't even say that it was in a stalker way, almost, like, it was in a stalker way, period. And that also really made me uncomfortable because, you know, I'm open to talk about my experiences, but I draw the line when it comes to like identity and the identity of others, especially. And when you don't respect that, then I just start, you know, feeling uncomfortable. Because, like, I'm not asking for much, you know? It's just, like, my identity. I want to protect certain things. And it's not even, like, I have my reasons to be a little bit doubtful and a little bit, you know, just careful. And so, you know, when people insist on knowing certain things that are way too personal, that's something that I really dislike. But other than that, I mean, that's pretty much it. And again, for the questions that I would like receiving, I pretty much received all of them. So, you know, I like receiving all kinds of questions as long as they don't make me uncomfortable. There are a couple topics that I wanted to include in this episode, but they turned out to be far too lengthy, so they will just receive like a separate episode. So I'm just gonna talk about something that came to mind, which is the fact that there are people who say that the relationship between Allison and Lorenzo is toxic, and I disagree with that. Now, mind you, all I've known is toxic, so I may not be the best judge there is, but I think that, first of all, when people learn a new word, they just start running with it and they just put it everywhere. And I think that this is the case. And I also think that there are people who don't really consider all the factors before giving a judgment. So I just want to, you know, lay down certain things, just remind people of certain things. The first one being that relationships are really tough. Relationships are not just pink clouds and unicorns and roses. Relationships also contain really bad moments. And just because there are bad moments in a relationship, it doesn't mean that the whole relationship is toxic. This depends on the length of these moments. It depends on the motivations. It depends also on the intensity of these moments. It depends on a lot of things. And this is why I just want to focus on certain factors of the relationship between Allison and Lorenzo. First of all, their relationship started as an affair. Now, do you know how much strain that adds to the relationship? Do you know just how difficult the relationship is when there is another person standing between you? I know. It's tough. It's really, really tough. And so when they argue, I just want you to like go back and think about all the times that that Allison and Lorenzo have argued. Most of the times, if not all of them, except, you know, this one time when, for example, they argued because of jealousy, because of the whole prom thing. But the other time, it was just about Olivia, or about his marriage to Olivia. The point is that every time people comment toxic on their relationship is after they've had an argument. Yet all of the arguments that they've had have been about Olivia. So I want you to take out from the equation, I want you to take Olivia out of it, and I want you to look at the relationship without Olivia. And I really want to ask you, do you really think that the relationship is still toxic? Because I don't think so. But again, I might be wrong because I have only known toxic. But again, take Olivia out. Is the relationship still toxic? No. Because honestly, you know, again, like, every time someone comments that their relationship is toxic is after they've had a fight. But all of their fights have been about Olivia, at least all of the fights in which I've seen the toxic comment. Because when they fought about the prom and the jealousy, there were no comments about them being toxic. It has always been lately, like in the latest chapters, and especially when it came to Olivia. But if you take her out, these fights that you comment toxic on won't be a thing anymore. So really, you know, just how toxic the relationship is, I think it's not toxic. I just think that they need to work on certain things even after Olivia is out of the equation, which we don't know, by the way, if she is or not. I'm not gonna tell you. We don't know what Lorenzo will be doing with Olivia now that Allison is out of his house. Anyway, but yeah, that's it. Another thing that I also wanted to say is that people have said that the relationship is only lust and not love. And that's because they've seen them having sex a lot of times. And to these people, I just think that they're kind of confusing the things a little bit. Because, yes, of course, a relationship that is only based on sex, just sex, is not love. I mean, it's just like a physical relationship. It's basically friends with benefits. But is their relationship only based on sex? No, it really isn't. I just think that people fail to realize that there are certain people that are really, you know, into sex, and there are certain people that are not. I'm someone who's really into sex, therefore my characters are into sex because this is how I perceive, you know, like this is how I view relationships. I'm someone who needs a lot of physical contact. And so this is how my characters also are. Like, that was the whole point when I wrote Allison Like Me. And just because there's a lot of sex in the couple, it doesn't mean that the couple is only based on sex. It just means that this couple likes showing their love also through sex. And, you know, people love reading erotica for the smut. So what was I supposed to do? Like, was I supposed to just write a couple sex scenes? I'm gonna write them. Like, I wrote them all. And it's even implied that there have been other sex scenes, but it's also implied that there has been a lot of bonding time between them that was never about sex. You know, so for example, the month that she spent, you know, just with him in his office. They had sex in his office at the graduation party. But she spent months in his office with him. And what were they doing all that time? Talking, kissing, that was it. Because I specifically said that it was their first time having sex in his office, which implies that all of the other days in which she was there in his office, they were just talking, they were just bonding. So really, I just don't see, you know, I just think that people maybe just forget all those implications because they're not written out, and therefore they maybe don't even think about them. Or I just think that certain people really think that just because two people have a lot of sex, it means that there's nothing else holding their relationship together, which is wrong, because that depends on the people in the relationship. And Lorenzo and Allison are two characters that I wrote as, you know, people that like sex, that really enjoy sex, and that's perfectly fine. In fact, I wish for everyone to meet a person that matches their sexual appetite, no matter how low or how high that may be. And these two characters simply have a high sexual appetite. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. Just because two people have a lot of sex, it doesn't mean that they don't love each other and it's just lust. You're missing the point. And it's also like, again, I'm not writing out everything. A lot of things are implied because this book spans from November 2018, which is when I started it, and also like the year in the book, to pretty much, I mean, in the book we are in like July 2019. Oh my god, this is so embarrassing because it's December 2020, haha. But yeah, this book spans in pretty much like a year, and there are 72 chapters up. So, I mean, I can't write all 365 days in it. So a lot of things are left untold and are left for the people to imagine. You know? But I just think that, you know, it just annoys me. It really annoys me when people say that their relationship is only based on sex and there's no lust and there's no love, just lust. That was true at the beginning. At the beginning, really, Allison, even though she thought that she was in love with him, she really wasn't. She was just like, you know, interested in him because he was telling her no. Like, unlike all the other men, he was resisting her, and that really just messed with her, and she thought that she was having feelings for him when she really didn't. She was just really attracted to him. She had a crush on him. That was all it was. But she claimed to be in love, and that's just how she perceived it at the time. She was not in love at the beginning, and I even told that in my previous episode. But, you know, in that case, yeah, so, like, when they started having sex, it was just sex. So, yeah, in that case, the comment can apply. But if you've read all of these chapters and you still are here saying that their relationship is only based on sex and their relationship is toxic, I just think you should reread the book a little bit more, you know, carefully. Because I will firmly say that their relationship is not only based on sex. And I just explained why. And as for the toxic, I also explained that, but I am throwing my hands up and I will say this. I have only known toxic, so maybe I'm a little bit wrong, but so I don't think I am. Because if you take out Olivia, the relationship is as healthy as any other relationship that you would not call toxic, so. This wraps up the second episode of Vixen's Holy Scriptures. I really hope you enjoyed it, and if you have any thoughts or any questions about anything that I've said in this episode, you can text me on Instagram. My username is holy.vixen, or you can just like send a message on my message board. And yeah, I really hope you have a good night or a good day, and I love you all.